WGCH News Center time is 7:52, and second Thursday of each month is State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich. Representative, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Tony. I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
All right. So I guess there's going to be a special session coming up in a couple of weeks. Tell us about it. What do you expect?
Okay. So we're set up for a special session. The dates I was given were between the 20th and 24th. I believe they're fixing on a date of the 22nd. And the subject matter will be reforms of police practices and absentee ballots. Those will be the major topics to be brought forward in this special session.
All right. What are some of the things you're hearing about police reform, for example? What measures would be taken?
Well, it's a review of the current police practices. I think it's a combination of making sure that there isn't any use of excessive force in detaining subjects. And I think we have to look at the resources that we put into the police forces and make sure that the social services are adequately provided for. As you'll see in the across the country and their reaction to the excessive actions that have happened in various parts of the country, that we're looking to make sure that our police forces in the state are adequately funded for body cameras, etc., so that we can review practices and policies and make sure that we're doing an adequate job in our policing, so that, you know, we're enforcing both the rule of law, but making sure, importantly, that social justice issues and mental health issues are appropriately addressed, so that we don't have undue and excessive force or violence in any of the encounters of the public with the police.
Is there any support for quote unquote defunding police?
I think defunding police is a poor choice of words in the tech in any of the motivation and goals that we're really looking for. I think what we're looking for is to make sure that we adequately and rationally not fund the police, but fund our services, so that we're achieving the real goals we set out to when we think of police enforcement or when we think of community involvement. So there it's just a question of, are we achieving the objectives that we really, which are both for a just and civil society, and are we achieving those objectives without having undue consequences for people?
It's an interesting, there's been a lot of talk about chokeholds, for example, and, you know, speaking with Stanford's mayor David Martin, he says, well, we banned them a while ago, but Greenwich banned them, but they say only in extreme measures. I mean, is an all-out ban something that's on the table? And I guess some police are pushing back against the governor, saying they've already been banned, but it seems unclear if they actually are banned.
Well, I think we'll probably clarify the issue, but I think that issue goes towards a specific practice. So I think what we really need to talk about is when we send our police out, you know, our police become our sentinels for enforcement of our societal goals. And the question is, in many cases, you know, wherever in, if you ask the police forces, in many cases what we're doing is we're sending them out, and ultimately it's not just civil and criminal action or enforcement of the laws that we're looking at, but our police have ended up as the front line in the dealing of social services. So, and the social services you will find for generically are social services that are available from 9 to 5, or I've heard from 9 to 3:30. So when you have cases of either, whether it's domestic violence, problems in the home, problems with people who are suffering from mental illness, are we sending the adequate forces to deal with those issues? And, you know, the police are trained to deal with criminal activity, and the question is, how are we going to deal with all of the other issues that afflict our society? And are we putting undue pressure on our police to become the arbiters of dealing with people who have who are in a disturbed mental state? So it's really to make sure that we give the adequate services to our both our residents here in Greenwich and throughout the state and throughout the country, and making sure that when we have our police force interact with the community, that they are resolving issues of a non-criminal nature, and that they're appropriately addressed. And I think when we talk about defunding the police, I think what we're really speaking about is, are we using our tax dollars wisely to resolve the issues that we confront as a society? So it's not defunding the police. I think it's, are we effectively using our resources to achieve, you know, reasonable goals and fair goals for our society? I don't think it should be interpreted as an attack on the police. Well, you know, although you'll hear, you know, multiple calls from both sides on that, I think the issue is, you know, we want our police force to be adequately trained, and if we're putting them in situations where the real problems are mental health issues, is that the adequate or intelligent use of our resources?
All right. Absentee ballots or voting in the fall, the next session or a part of the session, what's going to happen there?
Okay, well, you know, without boring with the details and the current status, the problem we stand with in the state constitution is there is only one rationale or two rationales for absentee ballots in broad terms. One is, you know, if you're away on military service, and two is if you are personally threatened with disease. So facing the pandemic, with given where the constitution of the state is, the only modifications we can do going into this election is by statute, which is to change the wording of the statute to allow the pandemic to be considered a disease. And if we do that within the statute, I'm sure it'll be challenged, but if we do that in the statute, the intent is to allow the state to provide people with applications for absentee ballots, which they would have to fill out, mail back to their registrar of voters. And going forward, they could then receive an absentee ballot, fill it out, and return it. So it would essentially allow them to vote by mail through the absentee ballot process. We don't have early voting or vote by mail options because of the limitations of our Constitution. We can't reform that without a vote, without a multiple votes in the House and in the Senate. So the only wherewithal to deal with the pandemic is through the absentee ballot process. Now, you know, people are talking about it, and I want to be very clear and emphatic on that. We are not proposing to be mailing ballots to the entire electorate. What we're proposing is to be able to mail to all registered voters within the state of Connecticut an application for an absentee ballot to allow them to vote by mail. And given what we're seeing in the rise in COVID all over the country, I'm very concerned about where we'll be by November, and I think all rational citizens will want to see a high participation rate in every election, and this hopefully will help to achieve that goal by allowing the use of absentee applications and then the receipt of absentee ballots when those applications are filled out. That's where we stand on that.
All right, State Representative Stephen Meskers, thanks very much for your time. We'll talk again next month. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
State Representative Stephen Meskers, second Thursday of the month, next Thursday we'll